February 4, 2020 is called to order. Invocation by Councilman Jeff Boyd, followed by our Pledge of Allegiance.
Dear Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for all the people that are gathered here. I thank you for letting us live in such a blessed place. Just as a council, mayor, I ask for wisdom, discernment, fairness, kindness, and respect for each other. Lord, just give us that wisdom. And I just pray that you bless this city, that we're light for you in all we do. I thank you for our employees and for what they do. They make us an incredible place. And I just thank you for letting us live here. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please, Ms. Renee.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Costo?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Mayor Kennan, are you here?
Here. Sorry. I was
sorry,
interrupted.
That was my fault.
I will entertain a motion to consider tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda with 8 additional items, the first being approval of liquor license for Kentucky Mist Distillery, the second, resolution authorizing expansion of Expect Excellence to Alberta, resolution number 3, resolution authorizing a professional service agreement with Moffitt and Nickel, the fourth, a resolution authorizing a task order for a net ecosystem benefit analysis, the fifth, a resolution authorizing a task order for the Sea Turtle Triage Center, the sixth, a resolution authorizing task order for Orange Beach High School baseball and softball complex. Number 7, a resolution authorizing a task order for a new adult gym facility. And the 8th, a resolution appropriating funds for the Gulf Frontal Watershed Plan Community Workshop.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll consider the previous minutes from our work session, regular council meeting, committee of the whole of 1-7-2020. If there are no objections, any minutes will be waived. Any corrections to the minutes? No corrections, minutes stand approved as written. Announcements?
Mayor, it's been a tough last couple of weeks. We've lost some folks in our community. Ms. Merle Carroll passed away early this morning. Ms. Linda Riles, I believe, from down in Pompano Avenue, she passed away last week. We just got word of that, and I believe there's some others in our community, and I apologize, but we just extend our condolences out to her family. Ms. Murrow was married to former Councilman Ed Carroll, for some of you that are new in our audience, and Ms. Murrow was involved in our community center and just whatever else, her church. They raised 3 good boys down here on this island, and Mr. Ed, you know about his service as a council member up here, but she passed early this morning. Services have not been announced. I talked to her oldest son, Eddie, who I've coached with quite a bit. He was on his way back down from North Alabama, but those services will be, I'm sure, announced in the next couple of days. That's all.
Forgive me, just making notes. Coach, anyone else? Any other announcements? What do we got this month? Seafood Festival the 29th.
Yes, sir.
Mardi Gras.
Garden Club event, game day, event center, February 19th.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
We've got the watershed meeting Thursday night.
Chamber.
And chamber. Thing.
Friday night.
Yes, where's she?
Black and white.
Yes. Yep.
Absolutely, yeah. Come on, please.
Ryan Sherrier with Operation Reconnect. I think most of you are familiar with me. Those of you who are not, we bring military families to our community when they come home from an overseas deployment. And I'd just like to make this short and sweet. We are officially announcing the Reconnect Week for spring 2020. It is going to be April 18th through the 25th. So put that on your calendars. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends. If you own property, if you manage properties, please send out emails to let everybody know. We are very dedicated and have the full court press on to reach our goal of bringing more than 100 families in during that week. Can't do it alone. Need everybody's help. I do have some flyers that I'll leave in the back for anybody exiting tonight that has any interest. And again, thank you.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Big deal, buddy. Appreciate you.
And we have more Mardi Gras. So, and more Mardi Gras. So that's it for the. We're going to have a busy month. Expansion on Canal Road is moving forward. They've starting to open the westbound lane a little bit more, moving the barrels and such. So it's hopefully and getting the accesses into the businesses and subdivisions and stuff. I know it's been a lot on everybody, but come Memorial Day weekend, we're hoping it'll be wrapped up.
Yeah,
Miss Ginger.
Anyone else?
Mayor, is it okay? Mickey, I think it'd be good if you gave us a quick Reader's Digest update.
There we go. How's everybody doing? Mickey Franco with Island Fiber. We've been working very hard out there digging holes every day. It's going well. Just to announce again, we've been talking a lot to everybody. We've been working hard deploying the internet to everybody and for the residents here in Orange Beach. And just to emphasize, we are building a network for the residents in this area. Fiber's direct for your homes. We would really like for anybody to have any questions to register as early as possible. We have extended our lines into Bear Point. We have finished, we have fiber in from Beta Launch West on those roads. We'll be turning on those customers here in the next over the next 2 weeks. And we extended our line also in front of the community center. Our conduit's there. Pull some string through it today, and we'll be pulling fiber there, hopefully, if the rain don't mess us up tomorrow. So construction's going very well. I know everybody on 161 and some others have been asking the questions. We are still waiting on the permit from the Department of Conservation for the access to 161. We have the city access, obviously, and then the state sign-off, and then we have the Department of Conservation that's involved in that as well. So we submitted that in October. As soon as we can get it in, we'll be putting some conduit in the ground.
Send me a copy of it.
Okay.
Hey, Mickey.
Absolutely. Yes.
This afternoon, I had to go down to Bear Point and pick up John Davis. He's here tonight. Mm-hmm. And saw you leaving the job site on Canal Road where your crew was at. And I knew, and now I know why you're here. Uh-oh. Thanks for taking a shower. No,
so, I tried. I just changed shirts.
So John lives down on St. John's Avenue. Mm-hmm. Bayou St. John, right? Yeah. So he and I drove around on that western side of Bay LaLonge, yes. And he was showing me, hey, this is all in, everything's in here, and he says the guys down in Bear Point, they plugged him in down there, and they showed everybody, and so there's your spokesman right there.
Thank you very much.
Bear
I
Point.
It.
I want to introduce you to John Davis.
Yes.
We spent some time together this afternoon. He showed me around where everything's completed, and that's awesome.
Thank you very much.
We he's the mayor of Bear Point.
Is that right?
I don't go down there without an invitation. So.
I do have to say, as we were working through in Bear Point, we were about 2 days away from really starting to turn anybody on. We still had some testing to do. And it was early in the morning, had an older gentleman that was a veteran, talking to him or whatnot, and he was out there in his PJs. And he kind of strolled out there, and he tells me he's had problems with his internet. I said, well, today's your lucky day. We'll get you hooked up. So he was handing out hugs that morning. I was laughing and calling all the staff. I said, come down to Bear Point and get some hugs.
That's cool.
So it's going very well, very well.
Well, he's a veteran. He's allowed to walk around in his pajamas.
There you go. That's right. Right. That's right, in his PJs. Does anybody else have any other questions?
Well, Mickey, I was just going to say, for anybody here that you don't know, Mickey, that's seen here, he's with Island Fiber. Mm-hmm. We are putting fiber lightning speed internet to each resident in Orange Beach. So he's working in Bear Point now, doing a great job on the installation, because there are no pedestals with his equipment. Everything is at ground level. So when he goes down through a highway or through a street or whatever, you don't know that they're there unless you look down and see a green top that's right at the top of the ground. And that's because all of his equipment's underground. So we're very excited. 100 megabyte per second, 200 and 300 megabytes per second. And it's going to be a fiber connection, which is, number one, very reliable, very, very fast. So we appreciate you. And go to their website, islandfiber.com.
.net.
Yes, sir. I always get that wrong. .net. if you hadn't signed up already, sign up, and he will be bringing it as soon as he can.
You can sign up online?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I'm illiterate on the computer, so I didn't know for sure. So somebody asked me, and I said,
no problem, yes.
I guess so.
We've signed you up five times.
There you go. islandfiber.net.
Well, thank y'all very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you, Mickey.
Okay. Is Miss Daniels here, Terry? Did you make it? She may still be working. Anyway, I was in the lobby the other day, and this lady walked in with a certificate, and she works for us in Coastal Resources, Terry Daniels. And she said, what are you doing here? I said, why aren't you on the beach? She said, well, I just got my American citizenship.
Oh, wow.
So I thought it was a big deal, and yes. I wanted to recognize her and tell her how much we appreciated the fact that she was now an American citizen and part of our group.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, she must be tied up on the beach.
We expected her here, yeah, but appreciate you, you know, making her feel.
Good, I didn't see you over there. I'm sorry, buddy.
That way, yeah, we thought she'd be here, but she does. She may have forgotten she reports at about 4 o'clock. She's on the night crew. She runs the night crew.
Well, pass on our congratulations, please.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Let her know how much we appreciate it. Okay. At this time, there's a special recognition. And as someone who has made a difference in our community, our lives, absolutely a mentor to me, especially in the early years.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't even know that I got the words to describe my respect and appreciation for him. But I think I'm going to let Ken tell y'all just a little bit about him.
The gentleman tonight that we're recognize him with our key to the city and certificate of appreciation, if you will, has made a tremendous investment of his time and his passions. And just some of the things that that you find out about Orange Beach that are pretty unique are when we're dealing with our folks on any given day, no matter what the task is, and they could be flipping burgers or making hot dogs, and yet you don't even realize that they were the administrator of a healthcare system. There is, can you hear me? Okay. Because if you can't hear me, this is not good. So along that line, there's a lot of activity that happens. And so along the line, he's been a member of the Orange Beach Planning Commission. He was a member of the Orange Beach School Board back in the day when we actually had a school board and became chairman of that, I believe. As a member of the Orange Beach Healthcare Authority. He's been very active with the mayor's finance committee. In fact, there are many accomplishments all over town that he had his fingers on and got us through some very difficult times in the recession and the downturn and how we restructured. He's not only dealing with many, many things of over 32 years in healthcare and 15 years in hospital administration, he is all about academic excellence, which is ironic that it brings us fast forward to where we are with our schools. And his passion coming from the Birmingham area and specifically with Vestavia and all of that came to Orange Beach with that same desire to create academic excellence and opportunity for students. Children are clearly something that he has invested his time and continues to do so. We love his lovely wife who had worked for us for many, many years in a key role with the city. And so with that, Mayor, you want to present?
Yes, I do. And I want to pass this down because I want all of y'all to touch it before we hand it to him. Yeah. So, John Davis, thank you, buddy. Sue. Well, yeah, Sue. And this is the true power behind the man, Miss Sue Davis.
Sue. Yes.
My youngest son.
John Davis has been a mentor of mine. Actually, I met John. Well, I was coaching out at Sportsplex, and some of those kids didn't have John. You would never know. John was back there flipping burgers and dogs and such like that, and he just wanted something to do. He always wanted to be involved with the kids or doing something good for Orange Beach, and so I want y'all to hold that. So he'd tell me, hey, so-and-so doesn't have any money. I said, here's 20 bucks. We'll just gather it up later. Just what, tell me what I owe. It doesn't matter. Your kids go get something to eat or whatever. That's just how John was. And actually, he told me back in 2004 that he wanted me to run for council. He knew that I had been on the Planning Commission Board of Adjustments for a while, and he talked to me about running for council. And he actually, I think you were my campaign manager in 2004. But anyways, we've known each other for 16-plus years. And I can't say enough things about John, from where he's been in his life, talking about, you know, in the medical field and management, and to flipping dogs out there at that sportsplex, helping us in our finance committee, planning commission, everything you've done, serving with you when we did talk about the Orange Beach school system back in 2006 and 2007. You were all about educating these kids and what it's about for these kids. And I know in the last few months, you've dealt with some health issues, and you've never quit thinking about Orange Beach. And you won't ever. You hear me? You won't ever, because I know the moral fiber that you're made up of. And to me, I want to say thank you.
Thank you. Y'all go ahead and have a seat. It may be easier to see from out there, I know.
Just real quick. When I first met John, it was back 10 years ago, and right when the city went through the oil spill, he was on the finance committee along with Al Bradley, and they used to kid me back and forth. Al was the revenue, he was the expense. So they brought us through. They brought this city through in some of the worst times, to where it's now some of the best times. But their leadership, knowing and how to get us through, was a huge help to Tony and to the entire city. So, John, I mean, you have worked tirelessly, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you, how much I am, your hours and hours of work that you've done. I don't think there's any place in this city that you hadn't touched, and we appreciate you. And we just want to say thank you. It just seems to be inappropriate, but it's thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And this city says thank you.
I love John David. John Davis, he is absolutely my hero. I would not be on the city council without your training. You and Al dragged me to the Finance Committee, the Healthcare Authority, the Planning Commission, and now here I sit thinking of you and your guidance to me every single day. I love you. I love your beautiful family. I love everything about you, John Davis. Thank you.
Just a quick story, and I think y'all have heard this, because in 08, when I ran for mayor the first time, it was a fairly tough election. And there's two people I really wanted on my side to help me, and one was Al Bradley, and one was John Davis. And in the course of just a very few hours, both of them told me no. So, but anyway, within just a few hours after being elected, both of them called and asked, what can I do? And Al and John, because if y'all remember, in 08, I took office in November, I think, or something. We were upside down cash flow in the red, and height of the financial crisis was laying people off, and it was tough. These guys, along with some others, helped us turn this place around and turn the surplus that first year, which I never thought we'd be able to do. So, and again, I just was along for the ride. These guys showed me how to make it happen, so I thank you, buddy. I owe you in a big way for everything you've given me. Thank you.
I'm speechless, which is very unusual. I can only say I retired here because I love it here. And I love this city. And I love the people in it. And I hope to continue to do what I can. Can't do as much as I could 2 or 3 years ago because of health, but I'm still here, and I still have a an opinion, and I will express it. Thank you very much. I think you live in a wonderful place, and I think we all can do much, much more to make it even better. So thank you. I appreciate everything you've said tonight, and I am overwhelmed, to be honest.
So, in addition, John, can you hear me? Come on, pulling the Alan. Where's Alan? There he is. Hey, John.
One more thing.
If you look at the screen, we are also going to be installing a flagpole at the Sportsplex on the wheel for the baseball wheel, and it will be in your honor, because we know how much you love that place, and that is the plaque that will go at the base of the flagpole. For that location. We have two flagpoles out there now in the three areas, and this will be our third. So in your honor, we're going to be doing that. And I think we're going to put a hamburger and a hot dog in the concrete. I'm not sure.
That's a good idea.
You like that? Give me your spatula. I need a spatula.
Yeah, exactly.
The bronze spatula.
When I worked at the sports place and did all these other things for 16 years, that is a wonderful, wonderful facility, and everybody should be proud of it. Go out and see what goes on there occasionally. It's a wonderful place. Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
And Sue?
How about it?
Sue, thank you. Thank you for all that you do and what you've done at our golf center and before your retirement. So we appreciate this so much. John, we've been working on this for 3 months. So if you have any issues, talk to Sue.
Thank you, Sue.
Good night. Thank you.
Did I skip all the accounts?
Yes.
All right. I guess we'll go back. Entertain a motion.
You want auditing of accounts?
Yes.
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interests are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in Swift Supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Move to new business under miscellaneous addition of rural lounge retail liquor license application, Kentucky Mist, Main Street, the Wharf.
Move to approve the liquor license.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving to resolutions. Resolution awarding the bid for four UTVs. The fire department, Gulf Shores Power Sports, $64,699.84.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarding the bid for three submersible jet aerators. Utility department, Jim House Associates, $149,721.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a task order. Appraisal consultant group, appraisal services, potential land acquisition, not to exceed $5,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of a task order. TTL, Geotechnical Engineering Services, Orange Beach Middle High School, not to exceed $31,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing purchase of vehicle, Community Development Department, $27,948.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution appropriating funds to the Orange Beach Public Schools, $2,550.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? This is the match.
This is the match,
yes.
And the Garden Club ladies are here.
I wanted to thank you. Last month, I came before you and asked you to match our donation to the teachers for the teacher appreciation, and you agreed to do that, and we were able to give each homeroom teacher in the elementary, middle, and high school $100 for supplies for their classrooms. And I have Kathy Oakes, our secretary here, treasurer, Martha Bowler, who distributed it to the elementary school, and Dr. McCoy. And we thank you so much for giving that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mayor, I have the check if you would like to present it.
What?
Look, she's like,
get out of my way. She's running,
Mayor.
She's
running. I'm coming for the
money. She get the
check. Yeah, there you go.
That's a good trade.
Do what?
We paid out of our pocket, so now this is the reimbursement.
Oh, okay.
We paid it all off.
Yeah, she's wanting that money.
Yeah.
You need a job? We'll find a place for you.
It's a good check.
Yes, it is.
He's over there shaking his head, yes.
All right, this is addition, a resolution authorizing expansion of the Expect Excellence Program for the
Ill Program. Can we just call
didn't vote.
Yeah.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing expansion of the Expect Excellence Program to Alberta students, 3rd through 10th grade.
So if we move to adopt, so we can discuss it?
Yeah, I'd like to discuss it, and then we can table if we need to.
Okay.
Okay.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Okay, discussion. After a discussion today, and then seeing there was some confusion, I do want to clarify exactly what we're doing. We've reached out and trying to help the cities of Alberta, cities of Summerdale, trying to create that neighborhood effect with our sister cities, and they're very appreciative. So the same thing has been going on for some time, and looking at how do we combine resources with Alberta School, SWIFT, everybody within the district. Because remember, this is a district that we're all in with the same representative. So we were looking at how do we combine and utilize facilities between the schools, teachers, resources, equipment, whatever we had duplication, how could we share teachers or resources in some way. And part of that was through the Expect Excellence program was incorporating some of their students into our program and our students into their programming. So I asked Jonathan and Jessica to come by and expand just a little bit upon what we've already come up with so that y'all see this is a very mutually beneficial and reciprocal relationship, and we're all going to benefit from it on both sides of the bay. So if you guys would just briefly talk about what we're doing.
As you said, this is mutually beneficial because we are in a transition period and have a lot of constraints with facilities. And actually what happens here by working with Alberta, we spent a lot of time with touring their facilities, working with their principals and as well as our two principals too. And this has been a great relationship from the start. But what it does do is alleviate some of our constraints with facility. For example, our culinary facility, some of our things that we have a wait list on, we can actually come off of our wait list by using their facility. And with their culinary facility, we can add their students, add more of our students. See, with ours, what we've done for many years is we've tried to kind of make something out of nothing, and a lot of the things that we've given and then have now created a huge program out of it and been given a lot of things.
Yes.
So with culinary specifically, let's say we use the community center. Well, in this 18-week period that we have, this 18-week semester, there's almost 9 days, 5 days that we cannot use it for others that are in question. So with that, we can actually go to Alberta, use their state-of-the-art facilities. Incredible. We can take our class that's full up there one day, take our wait list class off to another day and add their students, and have an additional day that we can be up there with split students.
As you know, the community center is rented many, many days out of the year. And then also we have limited use there because we have two ovens and then we have a small cooktop. So for our students to have something that is just really amazing in Alberta, there are six stations there, six ovens, six cooktops. We have something that is perfect for teaching. It was built for that. It has the demonstration mirror above for the chefs to actually show students what they're doing as they go. It's really an answer to our prayers.
Is that in the new high school?
Yes,
it is.
And it can also expand our summer culinary camp, which we now take to about 4 days because of rentals. But in addition to that, we go, our culinary camp that we've been doing for 6 years now goes on wait within its first week. So that's just one thing. What are some other things we can do?
So our music is also another thing with Expect Excellence that's on a wait list, our individual music lessons. We just simply don't have enough space to accommodate everyone right now. And at Alberta High School, they have some beautiful music rooms that they would love for us to utilize. There are so many different options for us to take our classes there, and we can serve more students. We can serve more of our students plus some of their students by using their facilities that are just absolutely beautiful. They're brand new, and they're not being utilized after 3 p.m. each day. So a lot of what we do is we play Tetris, is what I like to call it. We're always trying to find a space for a certain class and a certain number of students. And this is just really helping us. It's opening up so many new doors. So in addition to the music, we have access now to a Spanish teacher. He teaches at Alberta. He lives in Orange Beach, and he's very happy to join us for our summer camp. We've been wanting to include foreign language in Expect Excellence since day one, and this was never possible before. And so by sharing teachers and sharing spaces, it's opening so many new doors for us.
It also opens doors for some classes that we would never have the ability to do, such as agriculture, wood shop, and welding. All of those things that we can use their facilities, which is amazing. And we can use their instructors to be a part of Expect Excellence. Offer this to our students up there as well.
And then, of course, they have a beautiful auditorium. So we have more room for performances and different presentations. It's a great fit for us because during our transitional time right now, we need the space. And so if we have these opportunities in Alberta, we're able to help their students and our students, and really the possibilities are endless.
And we've done a lot of legwork to use every possible mode of transportation that we can with the city that's not being used on certain days. As she said, we play Tetris with our programs. Well, we've done that with every city vehicle and van as well, too, so we can bring some to them and to us. But it doesn't benefit us just with Expect Excellence. We've also looked to see, hey, what can we do in general for you as a community, as a school? And one of the biggest things that they need is something to do with their children during the summer, not just their children that can go to camp, that can be a part of our camp, and expound on what we have to offer, or you know, bring their revenue into that, but also into workforce. So we've been working with some of the private businesses, such as Brett Robinson and especially Miss Penny Grew at Perdido Beach Resort, of how we can incorporate some of their 15, 16, and 17-year-olds into our workforce private business, but in addition to that, into the mayor's summer workforce that works for the city. We have loads of space to be using counselors or counselor assistants in our summer Expect Excellence program. It's an opportunity to work with children if you have a love for that, but also an opportunity to learn leadership and see so many facets of what we do in this city.
That's right. And we're bringing things to fruition that it's been part of our goal since the beginning. One of our favorite things about culinary camp is that we are training our people right here in our area to go into the hospitality industry. College isn't for everyone. Look at the need for hospitality workers in our area. And we have so many opportunities for these young people to learn work ethic, character, respect, discipline, all these things, and an opportunity to fill these holes that we desperately need in our hospitality industry.
And with the understanding that they can even go to culinary school right here in this community. So we've reached out to Mr. Pouncey, the new Coastal Community College, to see how we can also start working with the culinary program over there, too. And again, that's just one aspect of it. A
I thought it was your looks. I'm sorry.
Definitely looked at that. So, but obviously, that was the kind of the ember that started this huge flame years ago.
Do y'all have any questions for us?
Well, for the people here that you may not know, the city has embraced Alberta and Summerdale. Those two cities don't have the resources that Orange Beach has. So both mayors have been very, very supportive, but we've given a knuckle boom to Alberta, and we have given Christmas decorations to Summerdale and a fire truck. These are things, instead of putting them in surplus, those two communities can use, and they are thrilled. So I understand this program will have some reciprocal type things, but since you will be using Baldwin County Board of Education facilities over there, have you gotten approval of the board, or is that still
in the hands of the principal? We've asked that specific question.
So the principal makes the decision.
Yes, sir.
I got you.
And we will just have an agreement for usage of that facility.
And of course, any of our Expect Excellence employees that of course go for background checks, they will also go through the background check for the school.
For Baldwin County.
School.
Yes.
We've had multiple meetings with the three principals and our principals. And again, just looking at what all our needs are and what they have. Because, you know, Alberta's a big school, and they have a lot more units than we have. They have a lot to offer. So we're looking at how do we share those resources, whether it be a nurse, a counselor, or a social worker, whatever it might be. But also, I just want to say those three principals were so appreciative and just that we reached out. To much is given, much is expected, and I feel like this is us. We're blessed, and we're trying to make an offering to help out other areas. So anyway.
And Dr. Smith and Dr. McCoy have been very instrumental in bridging this gap and creating this relationship for us.
So there is no financial commitment on Alberta's part.
What kind of financial commitment?
Anything to help with transportation.
No, not unless we charge the children.
The only transportation that they currently have is being utilized for their after-school sports programs, so they just don't have any to offer.
Our parents have come to you and said they do not mind their children being transported all the way to Alberta and back
for a
program.
So we're going to get permission from each parent as far as transporting them from here to there. In some instances, it'll be very helpful because we're able to open up another day of culinary, and it will alleviate the current Wednesday class by offering something on a Monday for those who need to get out earlier and go to church. So anyone who doesn't approve of that will be able to stay right here. It'll be one of those where every parent is approached, given these different options, and they can either say yes or no. So it won't be anything against any of our students or any of our parents.
But we have not taken that step because it all hinges on council approval.
That's why we're here. We just want to take it a step at a time.
How quickly, if we move forward with this, how quickly are you looking to put it into place?
That really hinges on the principals up there. We could launch this program immediately.
I will say that when I saw it on the agenda and I read Laura Thomas's email, I had huge concerns. The immediate concerns was our investment is me, our investment, our kids. I didn't understand the partnership at the time. I was at a meeting last week with all the mayors of the county, and it was Chris Elliott had a quarterly meeting, and Mayor Hanby, I actually said, how are you liking the fire truck that we donated? And he said, the fire truck's real nice. He goes, but I am the hero because of the knuckle truck. He said, our guys have been cutting stuff up and putting it in even big stumps by hand for years. And now that they have that knuckle truck, he said, it's a whole new world for them. And to kind of realize that, and then to think about, like, the uniforms, that they don't have them. And we're sitting here with a $50 million budget. They're with a $2 million budget. There's a part of me that goes, you know what? We do have a responsibility to help them all we can. I do have a protectionary part of me to say, to make sure that we vet the students that are coming, that our program and our kids get priority. But I think it's an incredible way to move forward. Thank you for working with the principals to try to do that. But I'm not going to say it's not without concern. Mm-hmm. And you can understand why there is concern. I know y'all see it more than I see it. But I also think it's a great opportunity for us to be the neighbor we should be. I would like to see it as a trial basis if we move forward, that if it becomes an issue, that we can back and pull back off of it, or we can modify it to make sure that it fits the right way. And I'd like to see more of an overview of it, of exactly what it entails, kind of as we move forward.
We can provide all that, a lot of that overview, detail immediately.
The students that come to us will be students handpicked by the principals. The goal was the exemplary, hard-working, driven students that want to do something outside of class would be the ones that the principals would pick to participate in our programs here. So,
per subject as well. So
yeah.
When those students show an exemplary in any particular subject, that is when those principals will say, you are a candidate for these very few spots.
The difficult part for us will be of parents coming to us saying, hey, I have my kid lined up to be in this program, and he's not in it because Alberta kids are in it. And 3 months, you understand what
sure.
I'm saying?
Sure.
As our tax dollars and our stewardship, I have that as a priority and a first responsibility.
Yes.
And so I need to make sure that we're doing it and we're sharing it, but we have to be wise in how we're doing it because we're going to hear it. Y'all know we're going to hear it first.
And that's my main concern is this is Orange Beach City taxpayers' dollars. And, I don't even know. I haven't had the chance to even talk to people in the community to say, how do you feel about your tax dollars, being spent on a child from Alberta? And I'm sure a lot of people would not have that issue. But there are some people in the city that say, well, I wish you'd do this first, or I wish you'd do this first with our tax dollars. So I have got some real thinking to do. I enjoy and I understand being neighborly and doing all those kinds of things. But for me, I have to think really hard and fast about using taxpayer dollars from Orange Beach.
Use taxpayer dollars from Orange Beach and we don't use their facilities, we will have less kids, our kids, participating. Because we're out of room. This expands the program for our children, not limits it or reduces it.
But we have to move them to...
Well, that's the parents' choice. They can either say, hey, yeah, we want to go up there and participate, or we don't. Because if they don't want to, then they're not going to participate here either because there's no room, period. So there's nothing being taken away from our parents. This is all a plus, 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 plus. Now, the few that want to bark about it, then they need to come to the microphone and specifically address what issues, what glitches are affecting them negatively, because we have vetted this from top to bottom, and it is a net win for every one of our children, in my humble opinion.
But it's the first time it's been put on a public agenda.
I understand that, but, that's why we're here. That's exactly why we're here tonight.
It's very much more a win for us and a lot of our facility constraints,
that's
too,
right.
And for a lot of the programs that we would love to offer to our students
that
we just simply can't view specifically. A lot of the ones that are specific to trades as well.
That's right.
So we would love to offer more things in that line.
And
I am very excited about that part of it.
Yes,
I guess I have to confess that I did not understand exactly what the parameters were when I started looking at this morning. I am really excited about the foreign language teacher coming to our program. They have a beautiful brand new high school. How long do you expect this to last? Just until we can get into our new school? Or do you look at this as ongoing because of the amount of people that are interested?
All right, let me address that. When we get our adult fitness center built,
yeah.
And we're able to move the adults out of the current, we expand by about 5,000 square feet immediately, and our other gym will now be open as well. So our room to grow in a hopefully less than a year is going to be significant. And then where the two portable units are, in our long-term plan, that would be an addition of a two-story building there that would house the younger kids in the classrooms.
The one at the elementary school, the middle school.
No, at the rec center, on the green, on the rec center next to...
Those two portables.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That would
just
be our long-term
plan.
But see, that could be a great area, like Mayor Kidd is saying, for additional classrooms. And also something that I know has been a vision of Mr. Johnson for a culinary wing, a teaching culinary area. In addition to that, also nutrition that can even roll over.
But I do want to say, you know, we don't turn our backs on folks that are in our programs now that don't live in Orange Beach. So we spend money on people, snowbirds that are in our classes. We spend money on kids coming down here for camps that even though they pay, it still doesn't come close to paying for it. I mean, we expend taxpayer dollars on a lot of different reasons and a lot of different folks that don't live in Orange Beach. But and I'm not dismissing anyone's concerns about the use of taxpayer dollars because I think we all know we've always very much put that as a priority of protecting them. But I don't think we're moving, or it's just like Gulf Shores using our event center at no cost for their band, graduation. We do that because it's, we can.
Because it's the
and
right
it's a wonderful
thing.
Yeah.
Well, and we have kids in our community still attending that school, Mayor.
Yeah. But, you know, we wouldn't turn Gulf Shores down for graduation even after they're not there.
That's right.
We would allow them to
that's
use
exactly
it.
Exactly right.
You know, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
So those classes we want to be able to offer
so
those students.
Is there time to take our kids up there and then bring them down? I mean, it wouldn't be.
Yes.
They end up spending like an hour in Orange Beach. I mean, it just seems like there's
so they,
a lot of access.
So they would be here for the full 2 hours of our Expect Excellence program. They, if they come to our facility, they'll be here for the 3:30 class and the 4:30 class. So they would have a 25-minute drive here. Then they would have 2 hours of class
time. So you're
going to
have
a 25-minute drive.
Same process that we go, all our folks go through.
And it would be the same with, for instance, the Spanish teacher that's coming to us.
He would come to work for us as well.
That okay. is just a concern I would have as a parent, is not knowing who the instructor.
Yep.
They'll go through our background checks. They'll be City of Orange Beach employees.
Yes, ma'am.
Is our new high school going to have a culinary wing and a woodworking and metal and all that?
No, ma'am.
I wouldn't
be able to answer that. I'm sorry. No, ma'am. Sorry, I wish you... We would love to see, obviously we all know the trades are lagging and lacking, and we would love to see a trades type of facility close, and we've been talking about how do we make that happen. And this is sort of the first step. I don't know about y'all, I got a 13-year-old boy, and he needs to know how to be able to cut a piece of wood. He needs to know how to run a drill. I want him to be able to weld two pieces of metal together. I don't care if he goes to the MIT and becomes a physicist. I want him to be able to cut a piece of wood. So to me, this is sort of a big deal that we have this available to the kids that want to know how. Somebody else. Yes, sir.
Are we going to look at the liability of the kids?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We already have done that.
We do that already on field trips with Camp Sunshine and other things, but we all that was absolutely going to be looked at. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Just open the floor up. Do you have a kid in this program?
I have a kid at Sunshine.
Okay.
So, but most people are. I mean, you plan your child here for the year, and you know what your plan is. So, I mean, to fully vet transportation, parents don't even know this is available. They have to sign permission forms. They have to know if their kids are going. They have to know that it's not going to interfere with church or sports or.
They don't have to sign up, Laura. They don't have to do it. We've got 400 kids. We know what we're doing. We have a track record. I mean, there's nothing here that we haven't already done 100 times. We know exactly what we're doing, and we're not going to move too fast. There's no reason for us to sit around and twiddle our thumbs just because. If somebody gives me a very specific reason that there's something here that, and I can't, no one's given me a reason not to do it as fast as we possibly can.
Well, and I do have another, just in addition, one of the things that we're really, really facing right now is our culinary class that we currently have, that we've had for a very long time. We are dealing with issues about utilizing the community center, and we're dealing with those now, and we have been for quite some time. What we need as soon as possible is to be able to utilize these facilities that are state-of-the-art, that are built for this exact thing, and also somewhere that's available to us every day, not rented sometimes, not shared sometimes. This game of Tetris has been challenging, and we do make it work. Of course we do. But we love to find a better way, and the sooner the better.
So we're not going to tell a parent, an Orange Beach parent, that says, no, my child's not going to make that trip an hour every day additionally on the road. I want them to stay right here in Orange Beach for the culinary program. Even though we're having to play Tetris, mm-hmm. you're going to say, okay, you can still stay here. So there's going to be two simultaneous things going on. So, okay.
There's always multiple classes for every hour. So we're now up to 47 different program classes per week.
But again, let me clarify. We can only handle so many students with the facilities they have in Orange Beach. So there is a waiting list. Those kids are on the waiting list whether we go to Alberta or not. If we go to Alberta, they have the option of coming off the waiting list and going to culinary camp, but it is a drive. If we don't do it, then they just sit in the queue and wait till somebody drops out. So they do not have to go. It's not required of them.
Right.
The kids that are already in it do
but
not have
I'm
to change or leave.
If they want to stay here and they say, I do not want to transport my child,
they don't
we're
have
not
to.
Going to penalize them.
No.
And then we keep doing what we've been doing because
yeah.
we've been making it work, but it is challenging, and we deal with it every day. We have to be very creative about ways to make it work. We try to schedule field trips for the days that the community center is rented. We try to work in the community garden. We try to do a lot of different things, but guess what? Then it rains, or then all of a sudden we have one of the cold days, there are just so many challenges associated with
it. So we don't have a written thing from the principal in Alberta saying just a verbal commitment, correct,
no,
right now?
We're waiting on tonight.
Yeah. That's right. We weren't going to move.
No, we met with them Friday.
Yeah. Okay. So
we met with them Friday.
We've met with, actually, yeah. as far as they're concerned, they're very excited. They're ecstatic. And even if the parents there have something that they're currently doing with their children, they desperately want this.
Yeah. All right, the amount of money that we're anticipating for the rest of this year, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Right, is $17,000?
Yes, ma'am.
And do we have to pay for the Alberta school at all?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. It would be free.
How many people are on the waiting list for the culinary camp?
Culinary program, we have about 40.
Program. Okay, so those 40 children will be offered an opportunity to join the new class in Alberta or stay on the waiting list for space to open up here.
Yes.
And how many students will participate in the foreign language?
That'll be for our summer program.
Okay. What are you anticipating?
Oh, gosh.
Well, the summer program, it'll be part of our summer camp. And every program that we offer in the summer, every child runs through it. So last year we were maxed out about 120. I expect to be 130, 150.
And that will be in Orange Beach.
That will be here in Orange Beach. And every single child who signs up for summer camp will go through that Spanish program.
Okay.
And any child that signs up for the summer program from Alberta will have to pay.
Yes.
To be a part of the program. It will not be free in the summer program.
Yes. Okay. And then, of course, the estimated numbers that you have in front of you, those are maximum, because we certainly don't want to offer you something and then come back and ask for more. So this would be absolute worst-case scenario. Of course, we want to find ways to cut corners. We want to find ways to utilize other people's schedules so that we're paying less for drivers. But this is just absolute worst-case scenario.
You know, I honestly can't really see any big negatives. If a parent is concerned, they don't have to participate. It's not like we're shutting down our program. We're not able to open any more spots in our program, but everyone has that choice. for really, in the big scheme of things, a nominal amount of money.
There's no liability insurance in here for the vehicles and the...
We've already started that process, and it's something that would be covered as an acceptable risk if you're able
well,
to talk.
I tell you, I like the program. I like the scope. I think it is of some mutual benefits for both Alberta and Orange Beach, and you've discussed that. I'm not for moving forward tonight. What I want you to do is give me an outline, detailing everything you've told me, and then also you've got questions you need still get answered. And I think that's good. We still probably have some few questions, and I think the community still has some questions. So I think it's good to move forward and get those questions answered. But if you can also provide us kind of outline a synopsis of the program and give us the details, then I think that's going to be easier for us, too. Because be honest with you, until it showed up on the agenda, I knew nothing about it. So. So I appreciate y'all coming and explaining the different benefits. And like I said before, I mean, Alberta and Summerdale are two sister cities that we want to help participate with. So the program is good. I like the overall scope. But let's get some questions answered and get all the things concerned. There may be some other questions that we've got tonight. And
maybe,
then let's
maybe surveying the parents to see if they... You know, if they're in favor, those that are on the waiting list, would they be in favor of, you know, their child being transported to Alberta for the culinary art? It would be nice to know if they're in support.
Right.
I agree with Joni and Jerry.
The reason it's here tonight was exactly what we're doing. It wasn't for us to start the program. It was us to get y'all's approval to continue to move forward with the details as opposed to going and...
Well, it says we're expending money.
Well,
that's what it says.
Okay.
That's what the motion is.
So when I went to legal to discuss the transportation options, I was told to go through this format before I move forward any further.
Understand. Sure.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, there are several concerns I have. Obviously, logistics is one of them.
And your name and...
My name is Mark Dickman.
Come down.
I know. I just need for the record. For the record.
I don't like coming out here.
That's right.
Yes.
Standing in front of people and speaking. I have some obvious concerns with this. Number one, the overall cost. And I think several of the council members were alluding to that. So I think that makes perfect sense. This was brought to my attention simply because someone asked me, well, where do we draw the line at this? I understand that there's an ecumenical spirit out here that people want to bring Alberta within their embrace and with Summerdale, but where do we draw the line? Mm-hmm. If I were another school district, I'd be looking at this saying, well, we can send our kids over here as an aftercare program to Orange Beach, and they'll take care of them. But my greatest concern has to be logistics. I mean, these kids are only there for a couple of hours. And I think a lot of these kids are absolutely saturated with information by the time they get to the end of the day. And I appreciate our desire to try and educate these kids a little further. But let's be realistic. We're talking about third through 10. These kids obviously really don't know their career path yet. Is it good for them to become interested in it? Sure. Why not? Give them another avenue, but it just seems like the time that's available for them to do this, the logistics, the potential cost, and also drawing the line on who participates.
Have you been to our after-school program?
No, I have not.
Have you seen what we do every afternoon?
Actually, I have a wife who teaches in it.
Okay.
So I'm pretty familiar, as just by hearsay, and I've also seen it in action as well. I don't have any children, so I have no dog in that portion of the fight. But it's the cost that at a certain point, I have to really kind of sit there and wonder.
But the cost is negated by our getting free facilities to expand the program for our kids and options that they may not have here.
Well, that would be good and fine in a perfect world.
It is a perfect world. Well, I mean, this is perfect. So.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. I've seen how situations like this can possibly backfire in other jurisdictions. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
I'm Norma Lynch.
Eddie knows about it. Yeah, and I don't know if the board members need to know. This is, in my humble opinion, you have my number.
But
you have my number, and you're welcome to call.
Okay.
Never heard from you, so maybe this will be a start of something new. So please call me.
And as far as paperwork, we are certainly crossing our T's and dotting our I's, having legal and Mr. May lead us through this process.
Go to the podium, Robert, sir, please, and state your name and address. Thank you.
My name is Robert Stewart, and I'm going to be the new District 5 Board of Education representative for Alberta, Orange Beach, and Swift School. So I had the opportunity to walk around Alberta High School, and I saw the facility that they're going to use for the culinary program. It's outstanding. Principal is proud. You know, they've done well. I've seen the shop center where they'll be making the cabinets and all the other woodwork. The thing about Alberta is it's a brand new school that they've already outgrown. It's a brand new school that next year their ninth graders will be in either portables or the old part of the building. But what they've done in the shop class is incredible. They've taken their old band room and they're having to cover the walls because of material that's on the wall to make it safe. And they've done all this in the shop. So I believe that once you get everything worked out logistics-wise, legal-wise, that this will be a benefit to everyone. And then for the naysayers, you know, that are, for some reason or another, probably politically, the reason why they're taking a stance of no, if you don't want your kid going, just buy out. Just let them stay in line, do the. I can't wait, because my grandson, my oldest grandson, I cannot wait. And if I had the option today, I would send Oliver Stewart to Alberta. I like to eat, as you can tell, so I'll probably send him to the culinary program. But I thank y'all for at least, because we've got to start thinking outside the box. We can't keep doing the same old things we've always done because we're getting the same old results. So thank y'all for just at least trying to be proactive and doing something that benefits all the kids in District 5. Thank you very much.
Anyone else? Thank y'all for the questions and the thoughts.
Can I ask Eric a question?
Yeah, please.
Why is there a certain number of students to get a culinary? Is there a reason our new high school doesn't have culinary?
No.
Of Orange Beach, and so I run the gamut, okay? And so I will tell you that I see the concerns. Like when it was presented to me, you know, as the principal of Orange Beach Kids, I go, well, and then I go, oh man, what a powerful thing that would be for the kids in Alberta. Y'all, we go up there, and not to give you a sap story or anything, but Wes just pulled up pictures on his phone where they took the old bookshelves from the library and they made lockers for their kids in an athletic locker room. Like, they are doing phenomenal things, and they are eager, and they are transformative. You have some principals there that really want to push the boundaries and do great things for kids. Not everybody lives like we do in Orange Beach. But I also understand as a parent whose child is on a waiting list or was for some music, further music studies and classes, I get it. But I also know how blessed she is because she's in that Wednesday culinary program. And so she has the opportunity to dive into things. My prayer and my hope is we open that new building on Canal Road. We have more space than we know what to do with. And so just expand this further as much as financially we can afford. to include every kid that wants to be a part. But I'll also tell you, across that bridge, every single day, there are great families and great kids that want to explore options and have no way to do it. You know, and we talk about logistics. They're going to be in a van for 30 minutes. Well, most of them will ride a bus for 30 minutes. So that just is not a concern. So it takes some of them more than 30 minutes to get home on a school bus. So to put them on a bus to come here to explore world cultures or to study preservation of the bay or whatever that is a phenomenal opportunity. We've talked extensively with these principals. When you get Dr. Smith and their three principals and I in the room together and we talk about things, it's really an energizing experience. They have taken care of on their side, because we're just there as a support piece, to say what that program has done for our 3rd through 10th graders. But they get in the room and they get so excited, and you can see the twinkle in their eye because of what it can do for their kids. It single-handedly changes the face of educating kids. This program is phenomenal. It just is. There's nothing else like it. That's why people, every time they talk to me, and one of the first things I say, if they're moving here, have you heard about Expect Excellence? Doesn't have anything to do with Baldwin County Schools, but it's important if you're a mama, and it matters. And so our partner across the bridge and being part of Baldwin County Schools, we want to continue to build camaraderie and those strong partnerships. And I'll just tell you, being the principal of Orange Beach High School is a lonely thing. And so it's important for me as a professional and for our children to know that we are part of a larger network. And so building that partnership and that camaraderie with a sister school is really important for us. Is it going to be without some hiccups? Probably not. Is it going to be phenomenal for kids? Absolutely. And so I do trust the people that are in charge to figure all of the logistics out. I'm excited to offer our space when we get open on Canal Road to do some neat things and to see what we can make happen in that building. But as of right now, I see all sides, okay? So I get it. But I want you to know that the people that sit in the room, I think they've been troubleshooting this for a while, and I see the benefits far outweigh the risks.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you, Erica.
And you know, I want to, I don't want to belabor this, but I do want to understand, this was an altruistic, I mean, this was, we want to help, but it was also, guys, we're out of space, how do we make it work, what are our options to improve or increase our numbers, and this was an option put in front of us, and when you looked at the cost of transportation versus the ability to open up and expand, to me, it was from a business perspective, the cost and the return was a good number.
Yeah.
So we did look at it from that perspective. It wasn't just about giving, giving, giving. It was, okay, and this gentleman, I'm sorry, Mr. Mike, he was correct in what he was saying. Where does it end? And I agree. But we did take that into effect. What is the cost for us to do this? And what is the return? And we felt like the cost and return was very acceptable and was a good business decision, because we don't have welding machines, plasma torches. We don't have table saws, all the band saws, everything they've got. We don't have the ag components. They have all of that and are willing to share it with us and let us use it at no charge. Their auditorium, we don't have a place for our kids to practice right now if everything is done. We need a stage. We have a place now we can take the theater group or whatever. Band room that we can expand music classes to. We don't have that. We have 3 music classes. We got 100 kids wanting to take music. For those of you who don't know, we teach guitar, piano, and voice at no charge to any student, but it's one-on-one. So we can only run so many through. There's a huge waiting list. They have all these music rooms. So if my mom used to drive me further than 30 minutes to go to piano lessons when I was a kid. So if mom wants to drive, and dad wants to drive, or let them ride up there to take piano, guitar, our voice free of charge, man, I just thought it was a pretty good deal.
And now with those 3 classes, Mayor, we're serving 167 children that are in our music classes with over 140 on the wait.
Yeah. So we were trying to expand the music side of it, because that is the music and culinary is our 2 biggest demands from a one-on-one perspective. And this solves a lot of those problems, as well as our theater group having a place to practice on the stage. So I just want y'all to think that there wasn't thought that went into tax dollars and how they're spent, and was it a return on investment? So I apologize. This is one of those kind of things you get emotional over because it's sort of a personal thing. So forgive me if I'm short with anybody, because I'm prone to do that from time to time.
Dr. McCoy, would I be welcome at Alberta High School?
Would you be welcome?
To tour it and see what they have?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All of you be welcome. We'll load up a van and go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have been there, so it's everything you've said. Yes.
And anybody else, anybody's welcome to go with us if somebody'd like to go and see what we're doing. So,
Mayor, I have a question.
But I can tell you this. Let me give you, what is it? What's the greatest form of flattery?
Imitation.
Yeah. Okay.
That's true.
Think about this. Gulf Shores tried to hire our folks to start the same program we've got in Gulf Shores. They started their program. And they want to do what we're doing here. Now, I take that, again, as a very flattering thing.
Yes.
But we have had umpteen dozen people from other communities say, what are y'all doing? We'd like to come down and see what y'all are doing because we'd like to see how we can incorporate it. Some can't afford what we can afford. But they want to incorporate through volunteers what we're doing. So it is really catching on and catching a lot of attention because we're building character in young men and women at a very young age.
And I get that. I get that. Jonathan, how many's on the waiting list for culinary? 40?
Culinary, I think a little over 40, yes.
Over 40.
We can only start 20 in our culinary class right now. And right now, starting out, we want to start out with 18 in their facilities, but we also believe we can go up to 24 in their space.
Thank you.
But still, my goal would build a culinary studio at the Art Center campus.
We're going to do that.
As we've talked about here.
And somebody else said something. I apologize for belaboring this, but I'm glad we had the discussion. So,
move to table, Jerry.
A motion to table?
Yeah, move to table.
Second.
Okay. Call the roll, please.
Sorry. Councilmember Silvers?
Move to table?
On the motion to table.
Motion to table, yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenney?
Yes.
Thank you for the information.
Very good discussion. Thank you all.
Okay. Resolution authorizing execution of professional services agreement with Moffitt and Nickel for natural resources consulting and engineering services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution for task order Moffitt and Nickel, $4,380, ecosystem benefit analysis.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of task order with Sawgrass, land surveying, civil engineering, architectural design, Sea Turtle Triage Center, $33,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Resolution authorizing execution of task order, Sawgrass, provide land surveying, civil engineering, site plan services, Orange Beach High School, baseball, softball complex, $25,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of task order with Sawgrass Consulting, civil engineering, site plan services, new adult gym facility, not to exceed $15,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution appropriating funds to the Gulf Frontal Watershed Plan Steering Committee, community meeting, $638.85.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. We'll be splitting that cost with Gulf Shores.
Yes.
So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, move to public hearings. First public hearing, the way this works, ladies and gentlemen, is that we'll have a presentation by staff. I'll have questions from the council to staff. Then we'll open up the floor for discussion, close it up with final questions. So, first public hearing is Ocean Edge PUD. Mr. Griffin, take it away.
Yeah, yes, sir. This is located on Romar Vista Place, east of the Opal Condominium. This is a request for approval of preliminary and final PUD zoning to rezone lots 32, 33, 35, 36, 38, 39, 41, 42, and 45 from RM2 or multifamily residential, and lot 50 from NB or neighborhood business to plan unit development for a residential subdivision containing 14 lots. Planning Commission held a public hearing and considered this at their December 2019 meeting, gave it a positive recommendation on a 6-1 vote. We go to our next slide. Just project overview, these are 14 lots and single-family houses. The beachfront houses, of course, on the south side of the road will be 6 lots and each containing 8 sleeping rooms. The back tier houses, that's on the north side of the road, there are 7 lots. That will be 3 sleeping rooms each. Lot 14, which is also on the north side of the road and is the easternmost lot, that's 1 and it's 4 sleeping rooms. There are 2 common areas on Romar Vista. The north lot contains a swimming pool and restrooms, and the south will have a dune walkover and beach access. All lots will front on Romar Vista Place. It's an existing right-of-way of 30 feet in width, and the roadway width is 22 feet. Lot 14, the easternmost lot, will have a hammerhead. This hammerhead area will be platted as part of the Romar Vista Place right away as part of the master plan. The PUD will dedicate the north of the common area lot, a portion of it, to the public right away because the existing street is on that lot. So they will take that, make that part of the right away. If we go to our next slide. And this just gives you an overview of the PUD master plan. Next slide, just a brief summary on the beachfront lots. Again, there are 6 lots, size a little over 10,300 square feet. The front setback's 30, rear CCL line, and the side setbacks are 5 with a 10-foot building separation. The building height's 3 floors. That would be 2 residential levels on above a parking level. Parking spaces, 8 are required. They are doing 11 spaces. 6 will be in the driveway. 5 will be underneath the structure. The applicant identifies the colored spots that you see as overflow parking spaces. If we go to our next slide, these are the elevations of the beachfront houses. Next slide, so summary on the back tier lots. 7 of those, average lot size 3,000 square feet. The front setback is 37 feet, and the rear and side setbacks are 5 feet. You have 10-foot building separation. The building height's 2 floors. Parking spaces required 3, and they will have 4 in the driveway, and the applicant identifies the overflow as the colored spot. If we go to the next slide, this is the elevation of the back tier houses. Next slide. This is for lot 14. Again, this is 1. The lot size would be a little over 3,800 square feet. Front, rear, and side setbacks are 5 feet. And this will be 3 floors. There'll be a garage level, then 2 residential levels above it. And 4 spaces are required. They're doing 5 spaces. They'll have 4 in the garage, and then they'll have 1 in the driveway outside. Again, this will be the lot with the hammerhead on it. And if we go to our next slide, this is just the elevation of that house. If we go to the next slide, just looking at zoning ordinance waivers, of course, lot size, lot width, and some of the setbacks are going to be less than what would be normally required under the RM2 and the NB zoning district. Subdivision, there's no deviations from it, but they are dedicating, again, as I've mentioned, the parts of the North Common lot, and also lot 14 will be expanding the public right-of-way in that area. There were some concerns at the Planning Commission about the hammerhead having visitors parking in it. During that, it was indicated that a management company would help patrol that and to prevent visitors, and also there will be no parking signs installed.
They're going to put a sign up that says, no parking, hammerhead, as you walk out to the beach to go swimming.
I think there's enough people down there already that monitor it, because I was monitored about 6 months ago down there and was asked to move out of the street, and I parked down at the dead end. There's no, I mean, oh yeah, no, there wasn't a hammerhead there yet.
It was a Mako then.
Yeah, it was a Mako thing.
Some of that, yeah. New Orleans humor there. Though.
Yeah. Next slide would be the by right scenario provided by the applicant. Looking at the first one, the RM2 NB, if you do a 58 unit condominium plus a patio home on that lot 50, you're looking at 59 total units, 223 bedrooms, 182 parking spaces. Second option, you have the RM2 NB just doing the patio homes. There'd be 11 units, but 90 bedrooms and 57,580 square feet of gross floor area. But with this planned unit development, they are doing 14 units. They're having 73 bedrooms or sleeping rooms and doing 73 parking spaces required, but they are providing 99. And the next slide just dealing with community benefits. This is provided by the applicant, again, about the Hammerhead turnaround area that they're doing for the public safety. Next slide is planned unit development amenities. Again, this was provided by the applicant. And next slide is just the current zoning map. And next slide is the updated aerial map. And next slide is just another one of the plan unit, the PUD master plan. And the next slide were just the staff conditions from the Plan Commission. And if you have any questions.
Any questions for Griffin?
I think Griffin, I do like the number of parking spaces they've allowed, but most of them are stacked parking. And yes. So as long as they, deviate a little bit. Craig, are you familiar with?
Yes.
So is there any room to park in the street at all?
No.
There shouldn't be.
There shouldn't be. That's what I'm saying. You shouldn't. Sometimes with stacked parking, though, you'll get out and you don't want your car to be all the way in there, and all of a sudden it's getting very comfortable to park in front of the unit on the street. And so,
what is the width of that street?
22 feet. The street's 22.
22. We need 20 feet for a fire truck. You know, as with almost everything, parking is the major concern. Stack parking is very much less than ideal, and the Hammerhead to put up a sign and say, "Please don't park here."
That's going to go over well.
It's not going to happen. So
will you go back to the PUD plans for the parking regulation?
Yes. Can we go back to the slide showing by right?
Yes. Let's see.
I mean, I'm fine with the project.
Yeah,
I mean,
significantly reduced.
Exactly.
What could be
you're reducing density.
Well, what could be, and they've reduced
and they have provided enough parking. I just, whoever manages it just needs to enforce that they have to use a stacked parking, and you are not allowed to park on the street. Yet.
I just want to reiterate for the public knowledge that it is a reduced density project over what could be done.
By right.
That's why it makes sense.
And every building, excuse me, every building will be sprinkled.
Yes, ma'am.
That's all my questions.
Okay. Anybody like to speak from the floor? Yes, sir, Mr. John.
While he comes up, just wondering, is with that many cars under the house, is that sprinkled also? Under? I didn't know. I mean, this is the most cars we've seen under a house. I was wondering.
Okay. You have to have fire rated ceilings.
Okay, John.
That's not a terrible idea, though.
John Hewlin, 5087 Washington Boulevard. Craig, can we get a fire engine down between a 10 foot between buildings?
10 foot between buildings? No.
Yeah.
Pardon?
But yet we're approving 5 foot setbacks. Have the same objection I've expressed here before. I'm against 5 foot setbacks, side setbacks.
Mr. John?
For many reasons.
And I know you've had contentions with the 5 foot setbacks, but that's why we make them sprinkle. Because even if they had 20 foot setbacks, you still can't get one of our fire engines down into that sand landscaped area in between there. I mean, you just can't navigate that. That's why the sprinkler system, the life safety sprinkler systems, are enforced and required. So,
well, you know, I'm still, the 5 foot setbacks to me they're ugly. I mean, just take a look at them. Would any of you live in those buildings? Thank you.
Okay, not that I would ever want to debate John. But again, John, there the option is no setbacks because it's a condo or an apartment. So as we all agree, I don't necessarily know that I would want to live that close to someone, but I'm not in, I prefer that much more than I prefer no setbacks of an apartment or a condo. And that's the those are the two options in front of us. If somebody has an option other than that that makes sense, I'm all ears, but that's what's presented.
It's not a traditional neighborhood. It's it's going to be for rentals. Yeah. We know that. I would rent it, John, if I was to go to another destination. I would stay in that type, you know, especially if I had a few family members, extended family members, you know what I'm saying, brothers, sisters, and some of their kids, not all their kids. But it's a destination out there on that Gulf. Have you seen that over there, what they've done already with the ones that they've built? Have you driven down there? No. That's not, you can't base that off of one on Canal Road. You need to go over there to Romar Vista and see what that man, I believe he's sitting right back there. There he is right there. See what that man's built over there already and what they've torn down, you know, in that area over there. It's an asset to that street. And there's even the neighbors. I believe the neighbors are here that live in Opal that are even spoke at the Planning Commission because I was here at the Planning Commission meeting. So, but it's not a traditional neighborhood like you live in and I live in off of Canal Road. It's not that traditional neighborhood. I'm just pointing my opinion.
Yeah. I guess again, the fair thing though is, doesn't matter whether I like it or not. What are the options in front of me? And the options in front of me are this project or a more dense project.
With more cars.
With more cars.
Density, more cars.
Those are the two options that I have.
More people, more traffic.
Yeah. I don't have the option to say, no, you can't build anything. I don't have the option to say, no, you got to build X, Y, and Z unless I want to suffer if they decide, well, we'll come back and build high density with no setback. So I think in fairness, John, I just please understand we have two options in front of us, and we're taking the one that has the less density every time and working with our developers who are trying their best to create a relationship with us by coming up with a project that we all agree, with something we mutually agree is a good project but not near as dense as what could be. So I have to thank them for that.
I will agree. We've done an incredible job in the last 7 years of every project, instead of by right, they have dropped what their density would be, and it's been a win-win for us. If we'd have just turned our heads and said build by right, we'd have so many more units along the beach right now if that was the case. You've heard me say over and over about setbacks, especially in townhomes and neighborhoods like off Canal Road, that it's really unfair that we keep approving those, but yet in your neighborhood and mine, I can't put a shed in my backyard if it's not so far off the back wall. Mm-hmm. And I continue to fight for that in property rights. But in this situation, on the beach, what our options are, this is a much greater benefit than what they can do by right, and we surely can't tell them no, that they can't build anything.
Yeah, Robert Stewart, 5231 Washington Boulevard, and actually very proud to serve on the Orange Beach Planning Commission as chairman now. But I've really fought in my heart and my mind the 5-foot setback thing also. And in this situation at the meeting, I was even very concerned about how things went back and forth. But again, y'all kind of stole my thunder that when you look at what they could do legally and what they're doing, it is a big win for us. And the quality that they build and they put into the product, you know, they're just not throwing something up, and the materials that they have to use. And the only thing that still, it concerned me that night and it concerns me today, is the hammerhead. And we talked about that, and whoever responsible for that is going to be critical. Number one, keep the vehicles off the roads and that hammerhead clear, and they've said they would. So in the end, you know, while I wasn't a big fan in the beginning, I'm a big fan today, but thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
You sure?
Yeah, who is this?
I was just going to say.
Somebody needs to tell them when you're here. Just shut up.
I know that you want to get up and start talking now.
Good evening. My name is David Lamar. I'm the project civil engineer. This is my first opportunity to present before this city council, and I'm glad to be here. A couple of things just to, and I agree with you. We won't push our luck here.
I learned the hard way, I promise.
When Wesley Spruill called me and asked me to get involved with this, he and I are doing some things on Perdita Key, and I'm so excited about what he's bringing to Perdita Key, and I think you will be very proud of the product that he's going to put here, that he's already put here. He's got two houses on that street as we speak. But his vision was to take a distressed subdivision and create a community, an enclave. It's going to not look alike, but it's going to go together. I mean, the floor plans and the houses, the elevations do are very similar. but what he's with and community association, he's going to be able to do a better job of policing it than if you had 10 individual owners that didn't have a joint management company that was taking care of that. So I think you're going to see that community. The fact that he's providing those amenities with a public pool, public for the community, and a 1.24 acre common parcel on the Gulf. There'll be 6 Gulf Front units, but the residents and the owners of those lots will not own the beachfront. There's 1.24 acres that will be shared by everybody who is either an owner or a guest at that facility. And the question about the parking, if your parking lot's full and you go park on the street, you're going to be parking in your next-door neighbor's driveway because there's only 10 feet between the driveways but with those 5-foot setbacks. So I don't think that will be the issue that it might have been otherwise. But with that, I'll take your advice and hand it to Wesley.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lamar.
Wesley Spruill, and I'll be brief, too. I just want to address a couple of things. I'm a big fan. Orange Beach has been part of my life forever. I've been vacationing here since a child. My second home has been here for over 25 years. I've invested over $30 million in the last 10 years in Orange Beach. I love Orange Beach. It's second to none to me. Every project I've done here, I think if anybody went and looked at it, it'd be a positive. And when this gets through, there's no way this is not going to be anything but positive. It's not going to be a negative. The positives are going to be several things. One, the legal problems that are coming in the future when people who live on the backside illegally walk between houses and go to the beach. Florida's dealing with it. We're going to deal with it. People are going to stand out there and tell them they can't go to the beach. They don't have legal access. We're eliminating that. Mm-hmm. We're creating a common boardwalk to keep them off the dunes. We're giving them legal rights to all that property. We're eliminating that issue. One reason 30A has taken off so is because they've created communities, and I don't think we should be second anywhere. And when you create a community, a sense of feeling, people like being there. It creates interest in this social media world. It creates hashtag Ocean Edge. I mean, that's the reality, and that's what we're creating. People turn this street right now. They see trash. They see vendors parking. It's not very attractive, and that's a beautiful beach, and it's going to be a great-looking area. As far as the parking, I own two houses further down. We have zero parking issues. Okay, everybody with a bedroom doesn't come with a car. It's just reality. Most people who rent come in 4 cars. We have zero parking issues. There's never been a complaint there. And as far as the Hammerhead, we have a handicapped parking place out here. If you park in it, you're going to get a ticket. Okay, same thing here. I can't make people stop through a red light. It's going to be marked off. It's going to be illegal to park there, and you're going to get towed. So I can't make people not pull in a handicapped spot. I can't make you not run a red light and kill somebody, but it's illegal. And it's going to be illegal to park in this turnaround. When we went to develop this, we had a completely different plan. We went to the fire department, and they said, I'm not going to approve anything unless you can get a fire truck to turn around. It's a huge fire safety issue. We changed our plan, and we made that happen. So we put it there. We're going to mark it. We're going to make it illegal to park there. The police people here will keep people out of it. I don't think it will be an issue. I think this will be a positive. And I think if you look at anything I've developed in this area, I think it's been an asset. I love Orange Beach. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spruill. How you doing? Mayor, Council, Jose Rivera. Live in Opal, apartment PH. Just want to let you know that last time I was here, I was complaining
And I said, next time something comes up, I'll be back on the opposite end, and I'm here on the opposite end.
This is the second time you're not complaining.
There you go.
I mean, really. I'm proud
I can
of
tell
you.
That it's already going to win, so I'm going to be real short.
So why are you speaking?
Because I said that I would. So I've done it. I've done my part. Great, great the development. I love it. That's the end. Oh, and one thing. I've been to a bunch of council meetings all over the Southeast for what I do, and I'd speak. This is one of the few cities that does a prayer and does a Pledge of Allegiance. And that's pretty cool.
Thank you, Jose.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Jose.
You ain't got to leave, buddy.
Toodaloo. Wait, so, you left your wife.
We appreciate that, man.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, anyone else?
Yes, sir, Mayor. Thank you for the opportunity here. And first, I'd like to say my name is John Morris. My prime residence is Oxford, Alabama. My education is civil engineering, and my profession is a general contractor in industrial and commercial construction in northeast and north central Alabama. Myself and my wife came here in 1999 and bought a home on lot 53, 25119. And we have spent the most enjoyable vacation times of our life here in Orange Beach. We love this community. We were there when we bought the house. We had five lovely years before Hurricane Ivan. And after Ivan, we built our house back. And we've made improvements to it, even despite the fact there was nothing else that had been in there. We spent hours and hours of our time with our people coming down from Oxford helping to clean up the neighborhood. Because I told the mayor, you know, this is tragic for Orange Beach. Orange Beach is hurting right now. They don't have crews to go here, go there. I know that from construction experience. And we went and talked to the mayor, a great friend, Pete Blaylock. He met with me and my wife. And he came and saw the condition of the neighborhood and said, yes, we're busy down here. We see what's got to be done. But we have a passion for this neighborhood. We've been here for 20 years. For 16 years, our home was not a rental. It was not a real investment. It was a vacation home for friends, family. We purchased another home, lot 60, which is at the end of the on the cul-de-sac. It's from Beachside, and we enjoy that home. That home is in a rental program now, along with our former home, although we spend roughly 3 months out of the year down here. I feel that for years they're really in the use of knowing the neighborhood. We're the last ones that left there that started from there. I think this is what we've been looking for a while, because what is there now is not functioning and it's not working to its maximum potential. Every time I ride in there, I look and say, when is something going to be done? I have memories of this, and we love a community-oriented process. And when you come in, you know it's unmaintained. It's there's massive amounts of cars, you know, parked right close to the city's maintenance walkway that was deeded years ago. And there's overflow parking. There's basically no control measures in there. I feel like this development will bring those controls into the neighborhood. It's less enticing to come from anywhere, and you drive in that gorgeous property, and you see no organization. You see opportunity. That's why people are on the beach everywhere. We've had traffic come in off of where the shops are. There's no controls on the beach, and sometimes creates a dangerous situation. But in regards to this, I think there are more questions. I'll be short. I know everyone is busy. Most of my questions that I would ask primarily would probably be directed towards the project engineer in relation to a homeowners association has been mentioned. Is one in place? And what are the rules and the covenants of that homeowners association? For the main problems of spending much time overnight and during the day here for years, you know, we observe things that there's just no control. We've seen tour buses parked in front of our homes. New go-karts. We've seen Zoom flumes erected, like water parks for 1 week. This development, I think, will alleviate a lot of those things. The concerns are, you know, the covenants. How will, and the homeowners association, did it apply to just the 13 lots in subject now, or did it apply to me and my wife's two lots and the current other owners who have built three very nice homes to the west side of our property on the beachfront? And just some construction issues that I won't bore anybody with. Maybe I can speak to the engineer about that as far as access into the road, the construction duration time. It's during prime and peak rental seasons. How will they manage that? I'm voting one. I mean, I don't have a vote, but if I am, I'm voting 100% for it. And I'd like to tell everyone, I think it's the most positive thing from my perspective is living there. We are going to retire here at some point. We love this community. It's going to be community. That's the way Oxford, Alabama is. It reminds me of Oxford, Alabama. It's well managed, and its members love their city and their children and their elders. It's a fine place to come to and retire. The construction duration, which I hope starts, when will it start? Will it be planned to start during prime and peak seasons? And the residents that are in there, the few, how does it affect what will be implemented with a general contractor? Will there be one? Will there be two? Will there be four? How will the construction manager, the architect, the engineers, how will they coordinate the maintenance of the subdivision, material staging area, general good, decent, respective conduct to alleviate the concerns of rentability? I'd love to see this. I wish it was complete right now as we were speaking. But that's concerns. When construction is completed, if approved, is the developer, are they committed to resurfacing Vista Place? How will that be handled? And I don't have civil drawings of it, but resurfacing, you know, how does that affect stormwater? And I've seen those remarks on the PUD announced. So if I think those things can be answered, there's not many of us, but I'm all for it. Like I said, it's just not, and we didn't show up 2 years ago or yesterday. We've been here for 20 years and won't stay here. But it's not what is going on there now. It's not working. It's not maximizing the use of that property, and it can be a nice community where neighbors or friends can get together like it used to be. That's all. And I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I don't know that I can answer any of your questions because it seems like most of the concerns you have are at a much higher plane of existence than I am. So you probably need to talk to a project engineer, and I'll let you get just a second. But as far as construction courtesy, things of that nature, there's only one way to know, and that's we deal with it as it comes along. We try as a city to be an advocate for that courteous, respectful and construction, and we will. The good thing is these guys, we know them, and they've been here forever. And generally, we don't ever have to worry about they just take care of business for us. They don't put us in a bad position of having to be the bad guy. But if we have to be, we will make that phone call to you guys. Y'all know that. But I don't foresee a problem. But, Kit, can you expand upon anything? But we do understand your grief of the new construction. I get that.
I do want to mention Kit Alexander Community Development. All those questions are things that we address directly with the contractor at the time of permitting. I do want to mention that Dr. Spruill and this contractor built a large house on a small lot on Cross Lane, which is the T90th little street we have in the city of Orange Beach. It was like the school of hard knocks for them. They did an outstanding job. There are, of course, moments where there are deliveries and there is blockage of the street, but we were really, really pleased with the construction of that house, and we were pleased also with the amount of availability and communication and cooperation that we had with this contractor, so we feel comfortable with it. It is going to be difficult, but we feel we can address it with the contractor.
Okay. John, do you have Kit's number?
I do not.
Okay, Kit. Absolutely. But Kit, give him your cell phone. You call her directly with the issues you got. Kit will be, okay. She'll be the go-to henchman for you.
Okay. One quick question, just addressed to the developer, coinciding with the civil engineering group. I'm asking, I'm sure it's been considered, is the project has been considered and being built in phases where material staging areas can be coordinated conduct with that instead of a central staging area? Is that question that we can answer later? It's just been nothing there, and what we've seen, it's proper to address that.
Well, we're dealing with this exact same issue in another subdivision right now.
I'm sure we understand
exactly where you're coming from.
Yes, sir.
And you're that constant balancing act. You don't want to delay or impede construction, because then it just hurts your long run.
Yes.
But at the same time, we want to show courtesy.
That's right.
And they always do. So I think you've got the person's number to call. If there's an issue, you call Kit. Kit will call those guys, and they'll work it out. I know they will.
Thanks again.
Okay.
Thank you. Call us if there's a Zoom flume, because I want to see what it is.
And let me give you Jeff's number, is 424. So, what is it? Zoom flume. What's a Zoom flume?
Apparently it's a water slide.
Water slide.
If it comes back, I want to come ride it at least once. All right, thank you.
It had an LSU fan next
time. I'm sure it did. You cut it off.
Okay, anyone else or anything else? Okay, we'll close the public hearing. Questions from the council? All right, move to our next public hearing. Metal siding for many warehouse buildings. I sure hope this is a quick one.
Yeah, this is just to modify section 10.02 to remove the allowance for many warehouse buildings to have metal siding as an exterior building material. Plan Commission held public hearing, considered it December 2019, gave it a positive recommendation, 6-0 vote. Go to the next slide. This will be the section of the ordinance that is removed from section 10.02. Again, this right, what you see on the screen, this is, as they have many warehouses, they're allowed to be metal sided if they meet those three currently. But if you approve the amendment, it'll take that out. Then they'll have to comply with the architectural standards in 10.0305.
And what are those options?
Would be hardy board, brick, stucco, sandstone.
What about architectural metal siding, like our rec center addition?
The difficulty with metal buildings is there's metal buildings that you see standard for your general mini warehouse facilities, your Kemcos that you order and they put up on site. It's already prefab. And then you have these really beautiful metal buildings that I love, but they don't fall in the same category as, say, a standard Kemco building. The PUD process is set up for extraordinary development and for extraordinary types of development. The PUD process, that fits quite nicely with this architectural metal panel type building that is above the standard of a standard Kemco building. So our recommendation is that they submit a PUD, and it can be preliminary and final together. And then that way, we have an elevation and an aesthetic that's reviewed specifically by Planning Commission and Council, and we can hold the development to that type of building.
Now, is this for any building like that? It don't have to be out on the road, but if it's off the road?
If it's off the road, like a mini storage that was just built behind Doug Car Wash?
Currently, it's any building, but if you would like to add some criteria that if it's in a certain location, provide them that exemption. But I do want to mention, fences come down. So if you say behind a fence isn't always there.
Yeah.
And it's not required to be fenced. So you can say you can't see it from the street because there's a fence, but in 6 months, a year, that fence could be gone, and then we, you know, end up with something that's not an aesthetic we want.
But if it's a PUD, you're saying if it's a PUD, then the fence has to go back up because that was, is that what you're saying? Is this
no, what I'm saying is if you have an extraordinary building that's architecturally desirable, that's when you would have a PUD. Normally, you wouldn't have a fence around an extraordinary metal building. That's where somebody can get an exception to this prohibition to have one of those. And I think you've seen, you know, it's not just mini warehouses. There's some beautiful air-conditioned metal warehouse space where, you know, the two-story. In fact, I think we talked to somebody recently about putting one of those here. But there's other, I mean, there's residential metal buildings that are gorgeous.
Right.
That, you know, and that I think that deserves a place in Orange Beach in the proper location, and I think Planning Commission and City Council should consider it. But I think that we need to be able to control it in a site plan controlled district such as a PUD.
So is the purpose of this because of the aesthetics of many warehouses?
Frankly, we receive complaints about many warehouses from our community quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. That there's too many of them?
That they're unsightly.
Unsightly, they're rusted.
Well, they're generally not maintained. And
they're not maintained. You're right. They're not.
And they're an undesirable building that a lot of people feel Orange Beach shouldn't.
Better than that.
I don't know if there's any Mary warehouse owners here.
If we pass this for the people that just built them, good for them, because the ones that are coming in, it's going to be, what, 30, 40% more in the cost of building one? If that much. You know me. I'm a property rights guy. Let me do what the heck I want with my own dang property. And don't tell me how I got to build my building. I appreciate it, but, man,
this ain't the way it is.
Well, it isn't, but it's like every time we turn, it's another facade, it's another rule, it's another ordinance, and it's like it's OPM Enterprises, other people's money. And I know we have to protect this beach. I know that we are more valuable than Gulf Shores, and we do that by cleaning it. We do that by spending $1 million on education. There are just certain things that you get to a point, it's like, when is enough enough? Like that man asked earlier in a different analogy. And to tell me I can't build a metal mini warehouse building if I want to is just, I have an issue with that. It is a right. And for us to step over that bounds, when do we stop? Hey, you got to put oak trees. You can't put pine trees in your yard. Hey, you got to put our expensive shrubs. You can't put these shrubs. I mean, I know I'm the voice of reason when it comes to the other side and the little guy, but, man, this one to me is over the line.
I agree.
And I understand where you're headed with this, but there's a protection of representing the 5,000 people that I represent going, where do we draw the line on urbanization? And I think this one steps way over it.
I could understand a brick or a fancy facade across the front.
Sure.
I can't see it down the sides and the back. See that. I mean, I don't have a problem making it look nice on the front.
You know? I want architectural features.
Yeah.
Hey, but I don't disagree. The one by the new school.
In our general business, yeah. I get it. I don't want to see, like Kit said, the old Kimco's. But there's trends out there with different types of metal sidings. And our rec center down there, our new addition, that basketball, that's a prime example of it. And I know one, Ralph Moore even spoke against me, that he said he thought it was ugly. I said, but Ralph, you just got to look at it from other
people's
eyes. It's a gym, okay? It's got split face block on the bottom, and it's metal. It's a gym.
Well, it's not finished yet either. So
let's not even go there.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if you take the one behind the Carib liquor store over by the new school,
yeah,
that one's deplorable. I get it.
That
you could use a fence around it.
Sure.
But there's not even enough room by the street to put one. But that was grandfathered in. We're not allowing that kind of stuff.
Yes,
but
yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to change.
Well, do we have one like that we've allowed without a fence?
Yes,
there's plenty of them.
The nature of mini warehouses is such that it's an easy moneymaker. You don't require staffing. It's minimal maintenance. What happens is they put up these buildings. They rent out the spaces. There's nobody on site. They aren't maintained,
right.
And they end up becoming an eyesore. Generally, is what's happened, and we have. And I don't think I need to point out a few of those in town.
The one that Mark Hill just built,
But the same folks
that complain are the same ones that complain about $200 a month for a rental unit.
That's right.
It's because it looks pretty. So I mean, you can't have it both ways. So I have no problem with the facade on the front being made to look nice.
Thank you.
Make it, whether it be hardy plank or whatever. I'm good with that. I couldn't accept going beyond that. So what do y'all think?
I think it's needed and necessary, and as always, we look at every single proposal standalone. And I appreciate that you like your role as the voice of reason of all the citizens here. But I sort of thought that was my role.
Not always. Yours is pretty demanding.
Yeah, John.
Some of
those people are complaining.
Okay. Am I wrong? I thought the council some months ago passed an ordinance that you had to be solid front, all four sides. Didn't you? Didn't y'all pass that?
We did talk about it.
I thought you passed it.
This is the culmination
of that.
This
is what happened because of that conversation.
We were talking about that, and so this proposal is the culmination of that conversation.
Well, can a business now build a solid front and then middle, sides, and back on Canal Road?
Right now, yes.
Yeah, and they have to have landscaping down the side of it to grow.
That's right.
The auto parts store.
In a general business, in a general business zoning.
Okay.
Sure.
5 years down the road, in a neighborhood, you're required to maintain your yard and city ordinances, you got to cut the grass or whatever. These businesses, this 5 years down the road, somebody's going to come by and say, look, this looks like a dump. Mm-hmm. You know, you got rusted out buildings, the doors are all askew and off, and, you know, it looks horrible.
Yeah.
Is there a repercussion?
Yeah, we do that every day. We have a code enforcement officer that rides the city, and when we see something in disrepair, we start the process of what we need to do. And it's a long, drawn-out process if they don't respond. Most respond. Most take care of it and say, we'll take care of it. But others that don't, we go through the process all the way to public nuisance declaration by the council. Then we take it upon ourselves to deal with it.
Okay,
so... Yeah, it is a balancing act if you look at what we're trying to do, because boat storage, combinations boat, RV, metal buildings, absolutely necessary because nobody has room to store anything. But at the same time, again, we all want an affordable price. But if we keep putting these tags on it, it's going to get to be where.
If you can afford the boat and those jet skis.
You can, but it's not a little extra. Just put yourself as the owner or sportsman and a hurricane comes and it gets damaged more than 50% and you have to rebuild. And this ordinance is in place and you can't rebuild with metal. You now have to use an expensive siding. Now, there are some reality situations to it that there's a cost involved that may outweigh what you're trying to accomplish in some
sense. Well, that's the choice you made. That's the business you chose to go in.
I disagree.
You won't have as much profit.
Well, and truly, the cure for a building like that is to reconstruct it. And that's just the damage.
What is that?
When they're all rusted through and in deplorable shape, the only cure is to reconstruct the site.
Right.
Well, that's not going to happen. So this is an attempt to fix it on the front end.
Where are all these deplorable storage sheds at?
I can only think of one.
Tomorrow I'll come pick you up.
We've got junky storage sheds, but that's our fault for letting it all happen. But,
some of those that you're talking about, like down at Nicky's, were built in the 70s and 80s.
Exactly. They've been here forever.
Before we were even incorporated. Yeah. I know the ones that you're talking about.
Yeah, they've been here forever. But most of the folks now, I mean, they try to keep them up. At $200 a month, they can afford to keep them up. So,
it's a money.
I got nothing against money making. I mean, you know, I don't know. I threw out a compromise. I don't know if that's a good compromise or not.
I just feel like if it's anything that you can see from Canal Road or whatever the main road thoroughfare, it needs to have more than just a metal look. Now, what's
especially
on the side?
On the front, Jerry.
That's what I'm saying. On the front.
Yeah.
The sides and the back.
I have no issue with that.
Yeah.
But then the definition becomes how far can you see?
That's right.
You know, and where does that line draw?
Line of sight.
Is it 100 feet? Is it 75 feet? Right. Is it 300 or 1,000?
But I thought the ones that we've seen with a nice front and then landscaping down the side looked pretty nice.
Yeah.
I mean, when you ride down, you see G&G Plumbing. I mean, it's a hardware store. I mean, you know, what do you – we want affordable hardware.
But those the G&Gs and Hazel's office all along Commercial Avenue there, y'all, those were the first buildings built in Orange Beach after that auction. And quite frankly, yes, it was after it was we were created as a town.
Right.
Okay? And that was affordable to businesses trying to locate here. The Richard Schwartzes of the world and Jay when they stepped out, you know.
And back then, we'd have taken anything we could get.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
It's really funny. When you look back on the 70s and 80s, everybody was begging for someone to come to town.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, Mr. Kaiser.
Voice of wisdom. Leonard Kaiser, Sampson Road, owned real estate many years back and forth in Orange Beach, getting ready to become a permanent resident again, and excited about it. Is many warehouses allowed everywhere in general business?
Pretty much, isn't it?
Why not address this issue with what's a specific zoning area that many warehouses can be put? I mean, that's a lot of areas, that's what they do. So they can't be just put in any general business area.
Yeah.
You've got certain areas that are allowable, and then you got setbacks and different things to do. So where you can have them, because they are necessary evil, but they're where you want to have them and still accessible and whatever. So have a specific zoning only where many warehouses can be put. Look at the zoning laws instead of trying to dictate how they build a building.
And we agree. As a matter of fact, you may well, we did try to do the exact same thing with apartments. And I think the difficult thing for that, though, is there's so little buildable general business now. If we took it out of general business, I don't know where you'd put it. I don't think, and that might be the purpose is no more mini warehouses, which I don't know, that's not a bad idea. I'm not saying it's good or bad.
Is any industrial zone anywhere?
And over by the concrete plant. That's the only place. But and there's nothing wrong. I mean, I think every city has the right to determine the aesthetic of their city. I have no problem with that. I mean, to me,
Move it over there in a category where.
I'm just saying maybe that's a better way to control it, that you had in control. You control in the area they can be had instead of the type of construction.
Good point, Leonard. Thank
I
you.
Agree.
You
know, thank you, Leonard.
We have nothing against mini warehouses. We adore anyone who comes to invest in Orange Beach. We just have a problem that we believe this would be one step to solve it. We don't allow vinyl trim on the beach.
Right.
We have restrictions all throughout the city. And the more subjective we allow it to be, like how many feet you can see or what street does it border, I think that opens the door to too many problems. And I would personally like to see us try this. I don't believe there would be a whole lot of objections to this by builders. And Kit was right. Most mini warehouses have no employees anymore. Everything is done online. You're given a code to get in. You sign up online. You pay online. I think that this would be a move in the right direction for us.
Anybody in the audience have anything else they'd like to add? So, do we come up with a plan? I have no idea where we're at.
Well, we're approving or disproving this plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can always amend the motion is what I'm getting at. I mean, if you want to compromise, we can have a compromise, but I've already dug my heels in tonight, so I ain't doing it twice. So I'm going to go along with the majority on this one.
I think we can go to second reading. We can discuss it more.
Yeah, y'all want to do that?
That's a good idea.
Just go 2 weeks, think about it? Okay.
Please.
All right, sounds good. Then we'll close the public hearing and move to our last one. Public hearing for JG Concepts Vehicle Showroom, Griffin.
Yes, this is the northwest corner of Commercial Avenue and Easy Street. It's in the Orange Beach Golf Center Plan Unit Development. This is amending the PUD master plan to construct a motor vehicle showroom on Lot 1A of the Island Property Subdivision north of West Marine. In the original plan unit development, this site was designated for a hotel land use. In 2013, the PUD was amended to allow for commercial retail, and that's where West Marine was constructed on Lot 2. In 2019, Plan Commission approved a final plat subdividing Lot 1 into two lots. At that same meeting, Plan Commission held a public hearing and considered this application and gave it a positive recommendation. The vote was 6-1. Next slide. The proposed building will have a footprint area of a little over 9,300 square feet. A little over 7,500 square feet will be enclosed display and storage area, and there will be on the west side, there will be 1,800 square feet. That will be a non-enclosed storage area. The building will be two stories tall. The second level will be for office space. There are 19 spaces required based on the floor area. They are providing 26. The parking spaces will be on pervious pavers. The drive aisles will be paved. The main driveway to the site will be on Easy Street. There will be a cut in the median on Easy Street. There will also be a driveway to the south through a shared access with the West Marine lot. The east side of the building will have windows, and the vehicular display areas on this side. The building proposes to have stone wood exterior architectural panels as the exterior cladding and along with metal roofing. Planning Commission recommended that the building have a more coastal look in their positive recommendation. If we go to this next slide, this is aerial and the red outlines where this project will be located. If we go to our next slide, this will be the proposed site plan showing the building and the parking area. Next slide. This is was the architectural rendering of the building that was submitted. And next slide, staff conditions, just approval of the architectural elevations and also coordinating with the utilities department on sewer connectivity points. And if there are any questions.
Thank you, Griffin.
There were some updated renderings that were passed.
What is this property zoned?
It's a plan unit development.
No, I'm talking about the zoning of the entire property. So this parcel could be anything.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When this came out, I met with some of the residents. They called me just about like this deal we're going to supposedly do with Alberta. They were scared that we were putting a used car lot there. Now, this is how it got ran. I said, no, come to the Planning Commission. I came to the Planning Commission to show some of those residents that they need to get informed on what's going on. Because I was around when it was a PUD, when Mr. Bean developed that piece of property, that golf course and everything. I said, it's not a used car lot. It's not a car lot. Come to the Planning Commission. I think only one of them came. Didn't stay long. And they were texting me from their houses in that subdivision, dirt, and I was sat right back there where Herb Malone was at. I said, why aren't y'all here? This man's trying to build something nice. He's right back there. And this right here is a lot better than a hotel that could be built and was proposed on there. Or a Waffle House. Once they understood what the gentleman was trying to do, I told them all, it's not a used car lot. He wants to showcase his fine vehicles that you have collected over the years. But these concepts right here, I like that. I think you all listened to the...
Yeah.
Like, Vince, did you do this? Okay. I thought you were representing him a while back. So anyways, it's pretty nice.
If you had a chance, you can take out
what he's trying to do there. Just my opinion.
I agree with Council Member Silvers. It looks good.
I agree. I like it. I know for what it is, and $1 million worth of hot rods, I'm all in, buddy.
And he's not sitting there. He's not setting us up to sell out of. That's not the.
No.
That's not the point.
It's going to be mostly exotic cars, hot rods, that kind of
Don't
thing.
Use the word exotic.
It's going to be a beautiful complex.
That's the last thing we need. Is it?
No. You have poles in there?
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's going to be hot rods, Jimmy, just hot rods.
You're going to have, I'm sure, a fancy alarm system in there, and I would hope that it would be such at such a level that it wouldn't cause any issues for neighbors.
It will not, I can guarantee you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I don't know if anybody's seen the red Ferrari running around the cloud, but that's Jimmy. So. The red one, yeah. Envious of mine. But anyway, any other thoughts or questions from the audience? I'm sort of just intertwining now the public hearing with council. I do want to address something because I know it's on one of your minds. If it was on Canal Road, I could understand the coastal push, but because of where it's at, I do think that is a Miami coastal.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah,
I think these changes are acceptable.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
It looks good.
I do. I know it's important to some of us, and I appreciate that, Annette. Thank you, Jimmy. It's a good-looking building.
Yes.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you for working with our staff. That was really nice of you to do that. Thanks.
And that's not metal, is it? Is that a metal skin on that? I'm just asking. Thank you.
There you go. You trying to stir something up?
No, I'm good. Let's move forward.
We're not going to say that the back half is many warehouses, are we?
You're right.
Let's see if I can't rent this apartment in here.
Yeah. Okay, then. That's great. I'll close it. Moving to ordinances. Ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Ocean Edge PUD.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of the ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costo?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Abstain.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costo?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes.
Passed.
Thank y'all. Great project. We appreciate it. First reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, metal siding for many warehouses and buildings. We can give two weeks. I agree. Good. I was talking about thinking table, and I don't know why I'm thinking that. You're right. Yeah. 2 weeks is fine.
Don't have to.
Okay, good. Moving. First reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, JG Concepts LLC vehicle showroom.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration.
Second.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. All right. First reading, ordinance establishing the use of electronic vote counting devices for use in municipal elections.
This is just something housekeeping we have to do. The county upgraded their machines, and we are required by law to adopt. But this particular ordinance adopts their current machines and any future upgrades to future machines, so hopefully we'll never have to deal with this again.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Discussion. Ken had a great point. These are. That's scary because that's what I was fixing to ask. So
that's a good question, Alan.
Man.
Same ones.
See you.
Did we vote?
No, Alan got me off track.
Yeah.
Call the roll, please, ma'am.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. All righty. Motion to adjourn to move to the committee of the whole.
Second.
All in favor?
All right.
All right. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Costa?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes, I'm here. I need to run. Take a break. Annette, will you take over, please?
Sure.
Okay, call to order the Committee of the Whole meeting of February 4th, 2020. Consideration of, oh, we did the roll call, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Consideration of previous minutes of the regular council meeting on 1/21/2020 and the Committee of the Whole on 1/21/2020. New business resolutions, discuss the Orange Beach Water Authority request for an easement for a new water main.
Kit, she must have stepped out.
Kit had to leave.
Okay.
Okay.
We've spoken with Vince about this yesterday, and so we'll be looking at maps, and as we discussed, we're going to talk about
this is the one we talked
you just
about
got Sportsplex. The map, so now you need to go back.
Sportsplex, mainly.
Yeah.
So okay. The main thing, what we talked about, Vince, that you can relay back. So what we got to look at is the siting around the Sportsplex to make sure that on their map they see anything that we're trying to build and where,
yes.
Especially with all of the renovations coming at the stadiums and north of the stadiums, which may be where it traverses across east to west. So we got to work on that. So we'll be working on it. If we're not ready in 2 weeks, we'll ask to be tabled, but we'll be closer.
Okay. Discuss Ono Island Fire Protection Rescue and Emergency Medical Services Agreement.
Good. I think we're all good.
Yeah, we are. I believe so.
And we appreciate all the work. Board, you and Mike and everyone involved.
Discuss Thunder on the Gulf. Discuss reallocation of Expect Excellent Performing Arts Funds for Disney Trip.
I looked at the breakdown of all this. You know, there's a $680 fee for them actually doing it, but it's a 7-day trip for 4 chaperones and 9 children. So we normally don't do that. It's a 1-day event. June 3rd is when they're going to perform.
Is that not the what rest is gave the MAC money
time.
For?
Yeah, they want to reallocate it. No, that's not what we gave the money for.
I mean, not for
they're
that, but for those types of purposes.
What happened here?
I don't think so. It's they're there 7 days.
No, she's asking if not, would the MAC money be more appropriate than the city money, city council? And I think the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
We just have not done anything like this, and I don't know that we need to start that precedence now, but we can discuss it further if you want to.
I agree. I don't think we've said no to umpteen dozen children's programs, and every one of them had a valid reason. Every one of them had something to offer. But I do go back to a possible match up to it with a cap. If we wanted to do something like that.
Through your fundraising?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something of that nature. That might be something I would be,
I'll
go with that.
The only reason we can do this is because it has to be a benefit to the city some way. They won an award to go to show up and to do this as part of that program. But on Annette's point, we open the door for every pageant, for everything there is, if we set this precedence. And it would be better if we could figure out a more creative way of matching or something of that nature.
Quite frankly, the educational session is a total cost of $680, okay? I get that. I totally get that. I'll challenge the council and mayor. I'll write a $125 check each and pick one up from you, and let's cover that for ourselves. But as far as the rest, June 1st through the 8th, and the event that they're performing is on the 3rd. And then, you know, you've got some other things, park tickets at a cost of $3,000 and such like that.
It's just not a possibility to me in my mind.
Accommodations for all of that.
We'll be happy to help with fundraising.
And,
and perhaps.
Mm-hmm. We have several fundraising opportunities there,
yeah.
And we're working with a few different restaurants in our area to fundraise at their facilities.
Yeah.
So we definitely want our children to learn the value that is associated with this, and we want them to learn work ethic and respect and different things as they work toward this
right.
trip. So that's something that we want to teach them as we go.
Mm-hmm.
And we There are 9 students and 4 chaperones on this trip, and our ultimate goal is that the children who are working at let's say, a beginner level in our music program and expect excellence, we want to show them this is what happens when you work hard, when you practice. You know, we've all seen how our young athletes go to a football game and they say, wow, look, that's what I want to do. We want to make sure that we're offering things like that for music as well. So we definitely are happy to fundraise. If there's anything, if you have any suggestions, we're happy to take those. If there are any opportunities for matches, we'll do anything we can to creatively come up with the funds.
The $680, I will personally, if I have to, write a check for it. I don't have a problem with that. That is the educational session that students will learn from professionals in the industry and help grow their technical abilities and stage presence.
Yes, sir.
I have no problem with that. Like I said, yeah. And I'll squeeze them.
And we will fundraise for the rest and for
Let's just see where you are a few months from now fundraising.
Yep.
And,
yes.
You know, I don't mind maybe entertaining a scholarship of a kid that may not be able to afford it. But I know my family and I just went to Orlando Thanksgiving, and nobody paid my way. And it wasn't cheap. So I got a problem paying anybody's kids to Disney World. I don't mean to be mean, but that's just
being very mean. Proud
there's
of
some that are less fortunate, and I understand that. Yeah,
absolutely.
I've always been a giving person to that.
Yes, sir.
Where's Robert Stewart? We've scholarship kids all over the place, haven't we, Robert? That's what that hair fell out for.
I thought you were fixing to say you paid for Robert to go to Disney World.
I paid for Robert to go to Disneyland. So, anyways, I want to help, but I just, you know.
Yes. Well, and we will definitely convey your congratulations to them and let them know how proud you are. And we will do everything we can to fundraise all of this on our own, and we'll come back and report to you if we're falling short.
Thank you. Mark has a really nice article for the community newsletter, please?
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Caleb.
Thank you so much.
Know Caleb, right? Caleb's one of our music teachers.
Yes.
Yeah. Caleb runs it.
Yes.
Caleb's our music director for Expect Excellence, and he's really taught these students some amazing things.
Sorry.
We're just so proud.
Yes.
Thank y'all.
Sure. He does a great job.
Thank you.
And we're on ordinances.
Ma'am?
You are on ordinances.
Okay, resolution adopting resident account.
Time out, please. Time out. Let's go back to Thunder on the Gulf.
Okay.
No one's here to, what is it?
Was Don supposed to be here, Chris? Or
okay.
What was the discussion? Just.
I don't know.
Okay.
It has my initials, but I think that's probably from the last Cal when Don came and he wasn't supposed to come then. I think we had added it because he wasn't supposed to be here last meeting because we had all the other activities and the mayor had to go speak to the POA. So he came.
Let's just put it out there, okay? In kind services, we'll have police and fire. Is that what they're going to ask for?
I would assume. I would assume that they will ask for support at the dry pits to some extent, wet pits to some extent, and then probably the marine assets in the water with the race.
But they're
and then
not asking for a check. Right.
We pretty much said that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Good.
That's what CVB's for, and Sequel CVB's check with that. So.
You're talking about the cash?
Cash.
Okay, but in kind, yes.
In kind, yes, no cash.
Yep. Good. Thank you.
Now, if you remember, he mentioned the wharf as a dry pit, and he mentioned Kareeb as a possible wet pit. That meant they had not secured those locations, but we told him you cannot use our city site because we're going to have a construction zone down there, so that's going to be difficult. So they got to figure out the Kareeb.
Okay.
Thank you.
Resolution authorizing purchase of a vehicle, fire department, $38,217.
You missed number one.
Okay, that's right. I was interrupted when I was in the middle of number
one. His dinner's ready. He's ready to go home.
It is. Y'all know my limitation. Resident account collection policy for emergency medical treatment and transport services. Jerry, you want to take us? I know that's something you've been pushing, and we all agree with you. So
yes, I mean, Mike has done a good job. I think Ford, you've assisted him, but basically for a resident of Orange Beach, that if our ambulances come pick you up and take you to wherever you got to go, if there is a fee beyond what your insurance covers, then this is going to cover that. This program is going to cover that to where you won't be billed for anything if you're picked up by an Orange Beach ambulance, no matter where it goes, to Pensacola or South Baldwin or all that. So that was the main thing. We just didn't want that. So this program will take care of that.
For Orange Beach residents.
For Orange Beach residents.
And so we will further define what an Orange Beach resident is.
We're going to define that a little bit better. Right.
And we'll define that. It'll either be for if you have a permanent home, it'll probably be a homestead exemption. If you're renting, though, it probably maybe a valid driver's license or
copy of your lease.
Copy of the lease.
But it doesn't
like that.
Does not mean that if you have a bridge toll card. Sorry.
That's right. It does not include
and
the bridge toll card. Yes.
Voter right. ID.
Because as of today, we have about 8,000 voters, 2,000 more than we have residents.
Yeah.
So we should be about 5,000 more than the calculation says voters. So,
you know, just to note,
yes, sir.
Yeah.
Not
yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But we're wanting
to
get
that way.
Yeah.
It can't.
Yeah, right.
The problem with the airlift is Gulf Shores did it, but it's with one airlift.
There's
multiple airlift. So
you got a third shot of that being the right helicopter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Not a bad thing.
Or you can wait on the next one. So.
But I appreciate Chief Kimberlin working on it. Actually, Bay County, Florida, has this program, and it looked good from all of our aspects, so we're really pretty much copying Bay County and how they do it. But it's very successful there. We know it's going to be successful here.
All right, vehicle for the fire department, $38,217.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Fire apparatus, Houston, Galveston Area Council, not to exceed $534,183.
Right. It's a new engine.
Yep, that's right. New fire engine.
You're good?
Go ahead. I'm in a good mood.
Well, I was going to say that's related to the
O&M. Yes. O&M contract. Right. That's right.
Yes. Sounds good. And hopefully that's getting that done. So thank you. Thank you, Ford. That was a lot. Resolution authorizing sole source purchase, air diffuser, Schreiber.
Is that to keep?
Like, go ahead.
It helps the odor.
Okay, it's the odor. Okay.
Simplest way to put it.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Gary?
Is that?
Right.
I just wondered if it was like healthier to move.
Well, the air diffusers are part of the original equipment, and it went online in 2011, and over time they just need to be replaced.
Okay.
It's a really big essential oil machine.
That's what I'm thinking. They're just putting essential oils out there.
Where's Hartley when we need him?
I mean, Gary.
We have Gary.
Tell him the truth, Gary.
So that means we're going to have groupies laying around our lift stations all over the city.
We're going to put some CBD
oil. I want lavender.
Oh, yeah. All right, it's 7:30. We start getting silly.
Okay, come on.
All right. Resolution authorizing franchise agreement with AAAND, We Ride LLC, Taxi Service, Orange Beach. Resolution authorizing a better cab, Orange Beach. Lease agreement with Wharf Retail Properties for Fire Station 5. Any questions on any of that?
None.
All
right. Then I'll entertain a motion to. Anybody got anything that they want to add? Anybody? All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.
I'll be here.